Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Strike!
Tell me something I don't know, Ump.
Well, unlike that nasty curveball, there aren't any surprises when you finance your next car with Carvana. You get real terms personalized for you right in your strike zone.
Really?
Strike!
How am I supposed to focus when you're telling me about Carvana?
Well, Slugger, you gotta keep your eye on the ball. Just like you can keep an eye on your customized down and monthly car payments.
I can customize those?
He's out and on his way to finance his next car with Carvana.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
Hello and welcome to episode 136.
Season 6, episode 12.
Of Two Miss P's in a Podcast with me, Mr. P.
And the other Mr. P.
Welcome back. It is still January.
Unbelievable.
I know. Longest month in human history. But we hope you're well. We hope you're doing all right. How are you doing, Adam?
Yeah, not too bad. Just cracking on. It's a tough month.
It is
a tough month, but no, glad to be recording. It's always a nice little respite from my own children. It's always good to get together, have a chat. Apart from that, I'm not offering anything.
No.
I'll offer on the app as I always do. tumbleweed.
Yeah. Do you?
But no, it's all good. Work's good. It's just flappy, isn't it, at the minute? I feel like
flappy.
There's a lot of flaps. Flappy, like, it's just people are, like, flapping, trying to fly, and they've not got the energy to fly. I don't know if that's the right...
That is not. Flapping's when you're, like, if I'm thinking it, is flapping is, like, getting in a tiz about stuff.
No, there's no...
You're flapping.
I thought it was, like
calm down,
kind of
just
like...
get on with it. Stop flapping.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Right, well, anyway, maybe that was the wrong term. Ignore the discussion of flaps in the workplace.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, you know what I mean, though? It's like, just the vibes, like, you know, I think February half term. let's just talk about February half term.
Well, that's what everyone does, don't they? They just go into school every Monday and they're like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks and that's not because they don't like the job or the children.
Well, they do. not the children. Well.
it's just a bit crazy in it at the minute.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you always make the joke of, like, it's the 300th of January and all that. And I know we do the same in September, don't we? Like, September's always a long one. But it's crazy.
I don't know. September's doesn't feel as long as January.
And obviously people, like, I put up like a little pic of, you know, Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Yeah.
And it was like when he's on the beach and he's grown a beard and he's just in like a little leotard or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And then he's just like the school staff waiting for the January pay because obviously you get paid early.
Be anything that, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Tom Hanks in Castaway could be it. You could go... me trying to get to the end of a staff meeting.
Yeah.
Well, me trying to get a correct answer in class.
What, when he's with Wilson?
Yeah. No, just him just wasting away trying to get a correct answer.
But yeah, how are you?
Tired. I've literally just got back from a 3.5 hour drive from Newport. No, that's a terrible attempt.
Oh, God.
Newport? No.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh, he's just come back from Newport. Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, God. I've literally spent the last couple of weeks down in South Wales, but can I do? So, yeah, I've had
so
one of
how
my...
how was it in Newport?
Newport? New... Oh, God. Cardiff. Newport. Newport.
No, well, you're just losing it. You're going Doolally.
I keep seeing, right? So there's like obviously people who can do really good accents and they've got quite a bit of following on. Like there's one guy, I don't know what his name is. I keep seeing his TikToks pop up and he'll basically have a list of places and he'll have a conversation and in every sentence he changes accent.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good. And obviously he's a very talented guy. But I just thought maybe I should do one. Where it's just dreadful accents.
Yeah, well, go on.
Surely, that's going to get more engagement because online people would rather like have a go at you than tell you.
Yeah. So let's take a classic school term.
Right.
So maybe 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
Yeah.
Right. Do it as a, I'll give you an easy one to start with.
Right.
Right. Do it as like a pure Manc.
Yeah, right. Oh, have I got to carry
you've
on?
To,
yeah.
No, you've got to do 1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Oh, 1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Terrible. Right, go on. Scouts. Right.
1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Eyes on me.
Yeah,
not too bad. Cockney.
1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Hello, Mum.
What? 1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
The one that the crowd are waiting for, Welsh.
1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Oh, that was okay.
I got it then, I got it.
That was okay. Sometimes now do Newport. Now say Newport in that accent.
Newport?
Oh.
I can't get it.
How we are.
Yeah.
Irish.
1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Oh, that's a, the 1, 2, 3 was good. Let's go for American.
Whereabouts in America?
Just
any American
textbook.
1, 2, 3 eyes on me.
Okay, Australian.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, mate. Put your eyes on me.
Put your bloody eyes.
Get those bloody eyes
let's
on.
Let's go for Brummy.
1, 2, 3. Eyes on me.
1, 2, 4.
By the order of the Peaky Blinders. I always have to do that.
And then last one.
Yeah.
Let's go for...
There's still a couple you've not done.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll go for... Geordie then.
How are you? 1, 2, 3. Eyes on me.
Oh, God. South African.
1, 2, 3. Right, I think we just... But the reason I say that is because I had this
can
thread...
Can you do the rest of the ep in South African, please?
Don't know if I have the capacity. Right, so there was this great thread I found on Twitter. Like, this is the educational podcast. We don't learn anything, but every so often you get a little gem. So this is from he's at @g_s_bogal, BHOGAL. In 2022, I learned hundreds of useful concepts that improved my understanding of the world. Here are the 10 best. I'm going to share this because I learned a lot from this thread. Number one, Solomon's paradox, right? We are better at solving other people's problems than our own. Because detachment yields objectivity. So, if you are finding yourself... So, we tend to be better at solving other people's problems
than
our own.
You've said this.
No, I've not read this.
You've said this before. No, but you've said that before.
However, yeah. So, if you are needing to solve a problem for yourself, it is better to view oneself in the third person as that yields the same detachment. So, when you're trying to help yourself, imagine you're helping a friend. Right, next one. Cunningham's Law. The best way to get a right answer on the internet is not to ask a question, but to post the wrong answer, because people are more interested in criticizing you than helping you.
Right.
Which is what made me think I should do that accent video. Next one. Bonhoeffer's theory of stupidity. Evil can be guarded against. Stupidity cannot. And the world's few evil people have little power without the help of the world's many stupid people. Therefore, stupidity is a far greater threat than evil.
Fair.
Next one, anatta, which I've since found out is a sort of Buddhist idea. There's nothing constant about a person. Habits are picked up and dropped. Beliefs asserted and refuted. Dreams forged and shattered. Passions ignited and extinguished. The self is a work in progress being constantly rewritten, and yet we're all judged as if we're final.
Yeah, that's just a little bit cancel culture, isn't it?
Yeah. Next one, Gibson's Law. For every PhD, there is an equal and opposite PhD. In courtroom trials and political debates, anyone can find a subject matter expert who supports their view, because having a PhD doesn't make someone right. It often just makes them more skilled at being wrong.
Sounds like they've got an issue with someone with a PhD.
Yeah. Surrogate activities. The more we eliminate struggles from our lives, the more we create artificial struggles. Sports, video games, Twitter culture wars, because the mind wants peace but needs conflict.
Well, that's just like marriage, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, you just like you wanna be that like Hollywood lovey dovey all the time, but then when you don't straighten the bath mat.
Oh yeah.
It's curtains. Sod's Law.
Next one, Shirky Principle. To ensure survival, institutions will try to preserve the problem to which they are the solution. For example, arms manufacturers lobby politicians to push for new wars, and light bulb manufacturers deliberately make their bulbs short-lived so you buy them more often.
Well, yeah, that you could say that's that for capitalism, like, isn't it? Look at McDonald's drinks. You can pour a medium into a large cup.
Yep. True. Mm-hmm. Do that with like Costa coffee as well.
Yeah.
Babel hypothesis. According to multiple studies, what best predicts whether someone becomes a leader? Is it their experience, their IQ? Nope. It's the amount of time they spend talking. It doesn't even matter what they say, just how much they say it. We suck at picking leaders. Wow. Again, evidence speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Last couple then. Noble cause corruption. The greatest evils come not from those seeking to do bad, but from those seeking to do good and believing the ends justify the means. Ironically, few things justify the immoral treatment of others more than the belief that you are more moral than them. And then last one. Consuming online content makes us feel like we're learning, but 90% of the content is useless junk. Small talk, clickbait, marketing, which crowds out actual info from our minds. As such, we feel we're getting smarter as we're getting stupider.
Yeah, I agree with that. it's like, I'm still relatively new to TikTok. Obviously, at Podcast Parky, I am on there now. And I just like scroll, you know, when I'm on the loo or whatever, and there's so many like amazing recipes I've seen.
Yeah.
Like done in the air fryer. And I've got an air fryer now in the new house. And I keep saying like, I could do that well easily, saying to Kim, honestly, some of this air fryer stuff's amazing. Thinking like I'm an amazing air fryer cook. Haven't turned it on yet.
No, air fryers are the dog's bees. Air fryers are the best thing to come out of 2022, I'd say. I love them.
2022, is that when they
came out? I got mine out. Right. Yeah. But then when I shared those laws on TikTok, the best comment, because I shared these on TikTok, someone then said, you've forgotten Cole's Law, shredded cabbage and mayonnaise.
I didn't see that coming.
Which is brilliant. So, yeah, there you go. You've learned something. Some of those, I think, are really good.
The only thing people are taking from that last 5 minutes of spiel from you is how shocking your South African accent was.
Maybe so. But yeah, so I've been down in Newport doing my cluster training. So usually schools will put me in for an inset day and I have the whole staff there for the training. But What I also do sometimes is cluster training where groups of schools can put me in over a period of days, and so I can do different year groups on each day. So the one I've been doing, I've been doing one in Bradford at the minute, and that's been over 7 days, so a year group each day, and we've had like 10 schools on that. And then the one down in Newport, we've done it over 4 days, so like EYFS, Key Stage 1, Key Stage, Lower Key Stage 2, Upper Key Stage 2. And I've not done an awful lot of work down in Wales. I was doing quite a bit pre-pandemic, then since the pandemic, I've not really been down. But the difference, there are some massive differences, especially with what I do around technology. So in Wales, they are, I feel from what I've seen, so much further ahead in utilising and embracing technology more than England.
All right, okay.
Right. And obviously, we've all got similar, you know, similar issues around budgets and funding. But the fact that in Wales, they've got a Labour government, and their Labour government has brought in a new curriculum that has a sort of digital literacy framework, just, I'm sometimes just so jealous of teachers who are getting to use that curriculum. So I keep moaning about stuff, and then what I keep saying to these Welsh teachers is, look, if you ever think it's, you know, bad, and it is challenging teaching no matter where you're doing it, but if you think it's bad in Wales, just always count yourself lucky. It could be worse. Could be teaching in England.
Yeah, you could get a job in Wales, but they wouldn't appreciate the accent.
No, I couldn't teach Welsh. Could not teach Welsh. So yeah, so that's been interesting. And I always remember, it reminded me when I was last down in Wales, or last down in Newport. Anyway, and I was at a school, and I used to always ask that question. So when I do a little rant about sort of like workload and well-being, and I go on about how we've been banging on about workload for years and da da da, and I always say, but has anything changed? Nothing ever changes. I mean, if I ask you guys, is your work, despite all these Ofsted reduction tool, workload reduction toolkits, and you know, everyone talking about well-being and teachers probably being on like the fifth well-being questionnaire, you know, do you think that anything's got better? Has your workload got any better? And the only time anyone's put their hands up when I've asked that question was in Newport, where two people put their hands up. And I said, oh my, this is weird. This is the first time anyone's ever admitted that the workload's got easier. Can I
go to the toilet?
Yeah. Can I ask why? And they both turned around and went, oh, we used to work at an English school and now we work at a Welsh school.
As the Spanish would say, la diferencia.
Yeah. So obviously the big news, it happened again, right? We recorded last week's episode on Monday. And if you remember, I was sort of mentioning the update on strikes. And then literally as we were recording that episode, the news broke that the NEU are going to strike, right? So the NEU passed the threshold. I think it was like a 53% turnout. And again, 9 out of 10 teachers voted for strike action. So that's going to be happening. I'm sure you've seen the news. And I'm sure, well, I hope you didn't make the mistake that I've made, and I know a lot of teachers have made, that when that news was all over BBC, Sky News, wherever, you made the mistake of reading the comments. The comment section. Right, so I thought,
you got practice what you preach. You don't usually do stuff like that. Oh, well, but no, it's not an attack on you, though, is it?
I didn't. I just got messaged about it, and you know, and obviously I've made a couple of videos about it, and people will comment on that. What's good is if someone comes onto one of my posts and sort of says, I'm not going to say it because we're going to play a little game, but people then just jump on.
Yeah.
So I don't have to ever engage.
It's like Braveheart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like an onslaught. People, you know,
you may abuse Mr. P for a whale.
Yeah. But you'll never take.
accents.
Yeah. So what I thought we could play is a little bit of like sort of comment, like teacher strike in the news, comment, like tennis.
Troll or dare.
Yeah. So it's like, I'll say one that you always see, then you'll say a typical trope.
Okay.
And we go back and forth until we can know a lot. So these are clueless, ridiculous comments made from people who have never worked a day in their life, get their understanding of what teaching's actually like from the Daily Mail and the Sun, which tells you everything you need to know about these sort of people. But it's the sort of tropes. And what, before we play this little game, what I make it clear, you should never listen to these people because they're just spouting the same sort of crap. And it's not what the majority of people think. The vast majority of people support teachers in the strikes. They understand the conditions, the system that we're working in, and how that needs to change. But it's that sort of thing that the people who say the most ridiculous and audacious things seems to then get the most engaged, you know, the most, mm-hmm. the biggest platform. So I'll start off with a nice and easy one. Can't be that hard when you only work from 9 till 3.
Okay, yeah, that is an absolute go-to for morons.
It's the goat comment.
It is. I'll go for, well, you get loads of holidays.
Ooh, yeah. Textbook. I'll reply with, I mean, you didn't do anything during lockdown. All the schools were closed. It's a new addition.
I mean, I feel like making tennis noises while we're doing it, so I'll reply with, ah! I'll reply with, how hard can it be just playing games with kids all day?
Ooh. Well, if you're going on these strikes, I hope you get fined the way that I got fined when I took Jimmy on a holiday during term time.
Oh.
That was a volley.
Yeah, I'm coming to the net.
Coming to the net.
And I'm going to hit you with a little bit of an overhand of those that can't teach.
It's not even... That's what they say. Those who can't... That's not even the saying.
Those that can't do,
yeah, teach. Those who can do... Those who can't teach. Oh, right. That is right. Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to hit you straight back.
You're loving
the
net.
I'm loving it over you with. Teachers know they're not in it for the income. They're in it for the outcome.
Oh, that is ill. I will try and hit it back over with just get another job then if you're not happy.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a good one, isn't it? They always say that.
But you've already had a 5% pay rise. I've seen it. I've taken you to the line.
Yeah. Hey! Dears. I'm trying to think what's the other one. I must be missing one here. It'll be the kids that suffer.
Yeah.
You're
not thinking about the kids. You lazy, woke teachers. That's the great...
Game, set, and match.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's pathetic, and it's such... I mean, even just doing this podcast and becoming... Because obviously, before we started this podcast, I was just a happy-go-lucky TA.
Yeah.
You know, going about my business. Now I'm a lot more invested in things like that. And obviously my wife being a teacher and, having all the listeners and the group and the Instagram and all that kind of jazz, you hear so much stuff and you just think like the teacher bashing that happens or school staff bashing in general is so ridiculous. And you always think like some of the stories that we've spoken about in the past couple of years, you know, all the classics, all the poo, I'm thinking of. All of the diabolical head teachers and all the stuff that people have had to put with.
Parent complaints.
One that springs to mind was that, do you ever remember that one where, because it's icy at the minute, so it's kind of, you know, it's tis the season.
Yeah.
Where that woman walked out of a house, slipped on black ice, and like fractured a leg.
Yeah.
And then crawled inside to her fiance or whatever and was just like, I've broke my leg. Like, you need to ring my school, tell them that I need to go to A&E. And then the fiance rang the head and the head was just like, before you go to A&E, can you just get Miss to email the planning to us?
Do you know what I don't get about this, right? Is because it is that sort of thing in teaching where if you're sick, it's actually... most of the time easier to still come into school sick than to be off because you've then got to leave plans, you've got to email, you've got to sort this out. And I don't understand it because obviously if it's a sustained period of absence, then fair enough. But if it's a day and you get a supply teacher in my experience, and this is nothing against supply teachers because again, you step up, you come into environments you've never known, you're asked to work within systems you're not familiar with. But whenever I've had to leave a day of planning to a supply teacher, what always happens the next day is what? So I have a day. I'm feeling ill. I've like got the
flu. You've got a mountain of marking to do.
No.
It wasn't taught right.
Yeah, you end up just teaching it again anyway. Because that supply teacher doesn't know where you're up to, right? Even though you tell them, they don't know your class.
Plus, there's so many different methods of things now.
Yeah.
You know, like if you leave maths and you're saying, right, we're doing division, is that supply catching the bus at the bus stop?
No.
Or are they doing, you know, yeah, I get that.
So I don't understand why supplies, I mean, it happens so often that towards the end when I was full time, if I did have supply cover, I'd always just say, I'll do your own thing for a day. If you can just read and maybe, you know,
comprehension, yeah, things like that.
Just a one-off lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just keeps them going for when I'm back, so I can pick up exactly where I've got, rather than me being ill, trying to plan and put things in place, which then doesn't get taught the way that I want it to be taught anyway. So then when I am back in school, it doubles the work because I've got to redo it all. And it just...
And a fine way of looking at it is, have you ever seen a poorly dog chase its tail? It's a grim sight. And that's what you're doing to these poor folk.
But yeah, so obviously we predicted this when we talked about strikes before Christmas. We'd say we'd get vilified in the media and there'd be all this negativity. But here's the thing, you just can't take these people, if you've not stepped foot in a classroom, you cannot comment on it. It's as simple as that. And I think this is one of the main reasons why we're striking. But the analogy I'm going to use about these people is it would be like, right, taking people's opinion on teaching if they never step foot in a classroom is the same as asking me or asking you to be a judge on MasterChef, mm-hmm. right? Because we've been in a restaurant once.
Yeah, yeah.
We've eaten in a restaurant once.
I'm not going to lie, that would be great view, wouldn't it? When someone's just making some really nice dish and I'll just be like, sorry, mate, where's your George Foreman?
Yeah, yeah. That looks a little bit easy there, you know. Yeah. Can't be that hard, can it?
That portion's never going to fill me.
Medium rare, can't be that hard, can it? But that's probably what it's like. It. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet it's dead easy to do a buttery biscuit base.
Yeah. What, are you making gravy? What, just granules in a kettle?
Yeah.
God.
So we've never stepped foot in a restaurant kitchen. We've never seen the process. We've never touched a pan. But oh yeah, we'll pass comment on how these chefs should do their job. It's ridiculous. So try not to take too much of it on board. But what is interesting about the strikes is people's reason for doing it. Now, what's really upsetting is obviously the support staff ballot didn't reach the threshold, so unfortunately as a profession we can't have all of us together. It is just going to be teaching staff. And as we always say on this podcast, and if you do follow me on social media, whenever I talk about teachers, that includes school staff, right?
Support staff, yeah.
Support staff, LSAs, TAs. We know how important your job is. If it was up to us, if we were Ed Sex, we would absolutely increase pay and do whatever we can to adequately, you know, pay for. And because I know that support staff did get a pay rise recently, but again, that came out of school's budget. So what happened in some schools was some TAs got paid more and then others were sort of laid off, which is just ridiculous. So solidarity, I see this as everyone moving forward. But what was interesting on my
Viva la Revolution!
It is, though, because in the media, whenever it mentions the strikes, it's all about pay, right? And don't get me wrong, for everyone at the minute, with the cost of living crisis, absolutely pay is important. And obviously for me, with my business, obviously that isn't the most important thing for me. Obviously I'd want everyone else to be paid adequately as well, but for me, I'm in a slightly different position because I'm only part-time teaching and then doing the business side of things. But I put it on my Instagram story yesterday saying, what is the main reason that you're striking? And I only gave three options, and the options were pay, workload, or just general lack of funding in education. Now, 13,400 people voted.
Solid.
Right. Which is 13,400 people more than who voted for our current Prime Minister. I'm not going to go on about that.
Just so, before you do, though, £100 fine for no seatbelt.
Prime Minister who has been given two fixed penalties And do you know why he didn't wear a seatbelt?
Because he's a knob.
Because he needs a booster seat. Because he's a very small man.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, but that's what someone said. It's like he's not worn a seatbelt because it'll make him look really small.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Rick.
Like Captain America. You know, when he's yeah, before small he gets, Steve
yeah,
Rogers.
Yeah. So, can you guess what came out on top? I'll let you guess. What
I'm going to go for workload.
Workload, correct. 45% of the vote. Closely followed by funding, lack of funding generally in education, which is 42%. And pay, which only got 13%. Mm. Now, I think there are, and loads of people messaging me saying all three, absolutely all three, but I said if you had to choose one. And I think pay is obviously really important given the everything that's going on with the cost of living crisis and being able to make sure we keep up with inflation, which should be, you know, I hate to use the phrase, non-negotiable for public sector workers. Yeah. But it's interesting that for people, it's more about workload and the funding. And I think they link. I think because there's such a lack of funding in education, which has year on year got worse, where school staff are expected to do more with less, has obviously increased workload, which makes the pay an issue because we're working harder than we've ever been before, yet being paid the least as far as real terms, you know, the real terms aspect of it. And I've made a couple of videos about the whole strikes and stuff and how I think the government... You know, let's go back to what we were saying there. That one, because I saw a TikTok where this mum got on and she was like, what is it with these strikes? Why can't they? She first of all said, why can't you take the strikes in the holidays? Which was funny because teachers don't get paid for the holidays, so it won't make a difference. Then she went on to say, why are they not getting fined? Because if I take my child out, I get fined. Teachers aren't the ones making that decision. This is it. You know, I'm sure you've had stories where parents are kicking off because they get fined, thinking that it's the teacher, like the teacher's going, all right, we'll fine you. This will be my beer money for the weekend.
What do you mean Jimmy's gone to Lanzarote? Give me 50.
Like, that's nothing to do with teachers or schools. That is a government decision passed down onto local council that is then done through the school. But like with all these other issues, like if you're a teacher or if you're a parent who's fed up because your child can't get the right support or the right assessment for SEND provision, that won't be the school's fault. That teachers will be doing everything they can, but the funding isn't there because of the government, right? So I just wish as much effort and blame would be put on the government when they didn't bother paying for free school meals or stop the free school meals or all these other things. You know, Nadeem Sawali just not paying his tax bill. Oh, well, you know, one rule for the other. But yet teachers go on strike, NHS staff go on strike, and people are up in arms. Put your energy into the right places because you've got a government that just simply do not care. Right.
And scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, just to change. I know you're raggy.
No,
and rightfully so. And the thing is, you know, I think people appreciate hearing your view on it, obviously.
Well, the podcast is a platform.
Exactly.
And with great
power comes
platforms,
great
come great yeah. responsibility.
And we're completely with you, and we hope that
Who's we?
Listen, you said school staff were part of when you. Are you going back on what you said there? Bro?
Well, I thought what I say is our United.
No, it
front.
Is. No, of course it is. But what I'm saying, I'm just kind of ending it before we get onto the bants by saying, like, you know, we hope everyone's okay and keep your head up and things. They can only go up, can't they? That's the classic.
Yeah, and
things,
you know,
as what is it? D. Ream would say, "I said things."
Yeah. And obviously, completely understand people's stance on the strikes. Like, if you don't feel that you can take the financial implications of striking, that's absolutely, you know, there's no judgment for. I know it's, but you've got, you know, ultimately, if teachers are in that position where they can't do it, is that not blatantly obvious that we need to strike?
That's fine.
But yeah, right. So let's move on. Let's get some stories.
Yeah, I've got just a couple of little stories that I got sent, and then I have got some gold.
Right.
Thanks to Facebook statuses.
Gold.
Facebook statuses and comments. But before that, I got a couple of messages. Evening. I need to tell you my funny story from today. In year two geography, we were talking about whales migrating from cold and hot countries.
Yeah.
We used the key on the map to help us. Blue indicated the feeding grounds. Pink showed the breeding grounds. Child A, what's breeding? Teacher, where the whales go to mate and have their babies. Child B, oh, I've seen that on a video. Humans do that too. Do you do it, miss? Speechless was my initial response before swiftly moving on.
Speechless. I do, but I don't say anything.
Speechless was my initial response before moving swiftly on. She's six. And then this story didn't tickle me because it's...
She's sick or she's sick?
She's sick.
She's sick.
She's sick. Once I was called to cover a reception class during their lunch break. Two pupils came to me with big smiles on their faces. Both had daisies from the lawn in their hair and even wound around their glasses frames.
That's a mouthful, yeah.
They were getting married and were inviting me to their wedding.
Oh, nice.
Lovely. I'm sad to report it didn't last long. A few months later, I looked after this class again. And the groom was planning on marrying another. Which I'm pretty sure was the child... So, performing the ceremony was the child he'd previously married in his other nuptials.
And his name was Boris. Do you know how you said there, like, you got the call to cover reception? Mm. Right. You get the call to cover a class. Which year group makes you go, oh?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, I've always been an open book on this. I prefer the older ones.
Yeah.
You know, nursery would probably be my yeah. toughie. Only because, right, my issue is this, and I love the nursery. I love the kids because they're so innocent and they're still so cute. Is I'm worried about that because I'm such a big guy. The classroom is not made for someone my size, and I feel like I'm knocking into everything. I don't want to knock any children over. You know, they're right at the angle to you know, cause some serious damage to the old peas in the pod.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'd probably, I nothing but respect for early years.
Oh,
but
nothing.
Yeah, it'd probably be nursery or reception. And again, it's just, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, man. And they just... It is just an accident waiting to happen. And it's the fact that when you go into these EYFS classrooms, just everything's so low.
Yeah.
So you either come out with really bad neck ache because you're just bending down, like backache, or you literally decapitate yourself. Like, you'll be with a child on a table, you'll turn round and bang, washing line.
Yeah,
taking you out.
Yeah.
Just absolutely.
And then you get home and take your work attire off and there's glue on the back of your leg.
Is it glue? Is it glue?
It could be.
Is
anything.
It snot from the... Yeah.
Could be anything. Anyway, so these, obviously, a couple of weeks ago, we shared with you that hilarious Facebook thread about the deceased cat that the guy, you know... thought
like this book cat
like this book cat. So, such a funny clip. If you've not seen it, check it on the socials. So I had a look and I found some just some funny Facebook statuses and people's comments on it. So first one, Garcia put, long day, Jesus makes things so hard on me. Then Beth said, doesn't he? But it's for the best. Just keep him in your heart and keep praying, girl. It will get better. Jesus works in mysterious ways. And Garcia replied, Beth, Jesus is my 14-year-old son. He's been suspended from school for punching a janitor again.
Punching a janitor again.
Again? What's the janitor done? Matthew, my teacher is so dumb. He thought the sun was a star. Ali put, that's because it is. Matthew put, no, it's not. A sun is a sun and a star is a star. Saying that a sun is a star is the same thing as saying a tomato is a fruit. It's not right. It's wrong.
Surely can't be real.
Alexander, just finished eating raw chicken breast. No sweat. Looks like someone owes me £20. Comment.
£20 or dollars?
$20.
Right, there we go. That's just got to clarify that, yeah?
Kale replied, "You're going to die, dude."
Gonna die, dude.
Salmonella for sure. Alexander replied, "I ate chicken, not salmon, dude."
And that was the last we heard from, what was it called? Kyle.
Alexander. I love that. Status, just finished eating raw chicken breast. No sweat. Oh, there will be.
Yeah, there certainly will be.
We'll call him Craig. Saw the dumbest...
Why?
I don't know. I thought of Big Brother 1.
Craig.
Saw the dumbest elevator today. It had a button for the floor I was already on. Then someone put, "I don't know how to feel about this."
Oh, God.
Jennifer, how did people know what roads to take before Google Maps was made? And then Helen said, "They used maps." And then Jennifer said, "What? No, I said before Google Maps." This one. Oh my God. So I don't like dolphins anymore. Squirrels are my new favorite reptile. So cute. Then someone put, "Neither a dolphin nor a squirrel is a reptile." And then... This last one, in all of God's creations, only human beings kill their own species. And someone put, "That's not even close to true." Oh God, they made me laugh so much.
I saw one where someone put a Facebook status saying, "Scrap outside Parton School on grass if anyone wants it." And then Derek, "You're a fully grown man offering people for a scrap outside of school. Get an effing grip and keep off the drink." And then Rob replied, "What the F are you on about, you effing Muppet? Scrap metal." You effing keyboard warrior. Jeez, Derek.
I've got one more. Text message from an unknown number. "Do you want beef tonight at 6? The reply... "What the hell? Who's this? Don't text me saying rubbish like that, trying to be a big man, when your number isn't even saved in my phone, so you clearly don't know me." "It's Grandma. I have a new phone."
You've got to love it. You have got to love it. Keep it on the feet. So I'm just going to go through some stories. We've got loads of stories to catch up on. And as always... head over to the website, tomrpspodcast.com, where you can share your stories. And of course, if you are coming along to one of our next tour shows, which are going to be happening October 2023, tickets are available for all the shows. So please do join us for what will be a really fun night. And what we're going to do is we're going to obviously share some of your stories as part of the show. The tour show is called Show and Tell. So in the tell part is where we're going to be sharing your story. So if you do go over to the website, you can choose which show you you're going to come to, and then that lets us know, and then we might save those stories for those shows. Oh, yeah. But yeah, go get and get
juicy.
Your tickets.
Get juicy.
Anything, it'll be anonymous, and obviously we'll see if you are there, if you want to admit to it, you can.
Yeah, if you've had a few tipples with the old crew, you might be like, "That was me."
And it can just be anything. If it makes us laugh, whether it's school related or not, you can. So my husband was convinced Dot Cotton from EastEnders was Doc Cotton. He was confused why a doctor ran a laundrette.
Plus, why would a doctor be smoking that many cigs?
I know, yeah. A child came into school and asked a member of staff if they liked his new hearing aid. Turns out it was a cock ring that he'd found in his dad's drawer. Pardon? say what? It was
returned. I love how just like intense that was. Like, yeah. You know, do you like dead innocent? Do you like my hearing aid? It was a cock ring.
No, he didn't say it was.
No, I know, but like, oh,
right.
The way the story.
Oh, the way
was,
I said it. Right,
yeah, no, it's in like just the story in general. Just like a boy asked me if he liked my hearing aid. And I was thinking, oh, what a, you know, poor lad. And then he was like, it was a cock ring.
It was a cock ring he'd found in his dad's drawer. It was returned to dad at the end of the day in a sealed envelope.
But dad's just like, ooh, wonder what this is. Jesus.
Is that changed from the lunch money I gave you today?
I bet he's told the son. I bet the son's found it at home and the dad's gone, oh, that's just my hearing aid.
Yeah. What's that, son? Yeah, just my hearing aid. In year nine science, a group of boys in my class were revising for their exams and helping each other. I overheard him say, it's really simple how we see. The pupil there is connected to your uterus, which takes in the pictures to tell the brain, shortly followed by, ah, I thought my uterus was connected to my Uranus. To which another student got involved and said, no, it's all wrong. At this point, I'm so excited to hear him correct his friends. We aren't studying the eyes, so it won't be on the test. It's all about the digestive system that ends at Uranus. Before it gets to the uterus, it swims through our umbilical cord, which some can get out of your belly button if you're not careful. This is the point I step in and say, none of you are right. Only women have a uterus, and they are far from your eye. Your umbilical cord is cut when you're a baby, so no food is being removed from your belly button. Interruption. Miss, I've seen the food come out of my belly button before. It sometimes sits there whole. At which point, I should just say, at which point, I decided to retire. At which point, I turned to the science teacher and congratulated them on all their amazing work this year.
Imagine that. Passing that class on. How are they in science? Fantastic.
So many misconceptions.
It's so like many. That Billy Madison clip, like, that teacher's like, we are all now dumber having had to listen to what you have just said.
I asked what was the funniest thing you've confiscated from a child. A front doorbell. He said he'd brought it in so he could use it instead of putting his hand up.
That's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. This, if you were in class going, right, okay, who knows the answer to number 7? Ding, ding. It's like, what ding, the ding, hell?
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, go on. Can I go toilet? The week after, I confiscated a salt pot from the same child, which he'd brought in as it was Fishy Friday. And he wanted that sweet, sweet seasoning. He sounds like a right character.
Yeah, that's class, that. So is he just salt baying in the dinner hall? Just like...
on his fish fingers.
I love that, bringing his own salt in. Fair play.
I imagine
a kid though, just like, and it's, I don't know what day it is, fish finger day or whatever, and then you're just like, what have you got there? And it's just like a bottle of Frank's Red Hot Sauce. Just like, I like a bit of kick me. I'd be like, fair play to you. Give me some of it.
Bringing out a little napkin in his school jumper, pulls out a lemon zest, and then he brings out some tartar sauce. Yeah.
Pours himself a glass of wine.
Swills it around, little sniff. Right. As a student teacher, I was teaching the play version of Dracula to a year 8 class. They had to make these leaflets, which were how to vanquish a vampire guides, as if they were Van Helsing, with the promise that I would display the work on the classroom wall. These year 8 students clearly put a lot of time and effort into lovingly making these guides, drawing pictures and colouring them in. And some of them were amazingly creative because they really wanted their work on the wall. I took them home to look and decided it would be a good idea to have a glass of red wine while I looked over them. And of course, I knocked the entire glass all over the work. Out of 30 pieces, 2 or 3 of them didn't have red wine stains. But I'm thinking, would that just add to it?
Yeah,
Dracula,
yeah,
guides.
Exactly, yeah. Surely that's where it's going.
If anything, you've enhanced the project. I tried my best to let them dry out, placing them all over the floor of my bedroom, but there could be no mistake in the stains. I considered testing the throw white wine onto the red stains to see if it would help.
I love that teacher's going like, Oh no, my carpet. Oh, thank God, it's just the children's work. Oh, their hard work. Thank God, it's not my carpet.
Oh, just spilling it on your carpet, then grabbing it to wipe it up.
I haven't got anything. Oh yeah, it'll do.
Yeah. To see if it would help. And I thought about trying to pretend I'd thrown red liquid over them to pass it off as fake blood.
There you go.
To go with the Dracula theme. There we go. Initiative. Before realising there was nothing else to do but throw all the work away.
Right, I'm out of options here. They've got to go. To be fair, though, red wine stinks. And if you were to bring it back into school, they wouldn't be like, you know, it's bland. They'd just be like,
I don't know. I think you'd get away with that. I think you'd get away with it. Would you not? I'd get... You would.
What year?
Year 8?
Yeah, it depends.
But you could easily just say, well, I was looking at the display and I thought, to really bring it to life, some blood stains.
Or I'd just go, these three were the best. The three that had nothing on them. Everyone else's was trash. These three were fantastic.
When
one
I was asked...
It's not done the date, and I'm like, it's an empty page. No, I thought you did really well. You tried really hard.
When I was asked by the kids when I was putting their work up, I just passed it off with a couple of very soon comments and never mentioned them again.
Very soon. Miss when some things went up. Should be with you soon.
The lessons I learned from this experience were twofold. Number one, when consuming liquids around student work, make sure they're in a flask or a bottle. And two, never take students' work home.
Did she just say what she learned was drink the wine out the bottle?
That's why you have lids on your mugs. I think you'd have got away with that.
Yeah, probably. By student teacher, though.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, it's always the... Yeah, yeah. Lesson
learned. Yeah, if you had that an SLT member in high school that came round, it's like, I can smell a fresh Chianti.
I've been doing isolation with nearly the same student every day. There were no other members of staff available that had quite as good a bond with the pupil as I did. By the end of the fourth day, I literally fell asleep looking out the window. No one had a bond with the child the way I did. By God, if I was in his company, I was fast asleep.
It sounds like a fantastic bond.
The isolated pupil did not notice. This sounds like a great bond.
Shake her. Don't stir her.
But my former class out on the playground saw and thought it was funny.
She should have gone, Sean Connery, shouldn't she? I'm really sorry about that. I can only blame myself.
Luckily, I was only asleep for a couple of minutes as their laughter woke me up.
Nodded off. Nodded off. That initial, like, would have been horrendous. There's nothing worse, is there, where you are asleep or dozing and you just go like...
I've had it before where people fall asleep in my training.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And the funniest thing is doing something to try and make them wake up and be shocked. So, like, there was...
Helicopter!
Yeah. There was one where, like, I finished the training, so everyone started clapping. And then that, like, proper got them. And then they just sort of... And then carried on clapping.
We went to this, like, museum, and we went into this, like... I don't know if I've ever said this before. We went into this, like... room where the whole sky went to stars and it was talking you through, so like an immersive room.
Yeah.
And I was lay there and I remember so tired. It was when Max was dead young, and I was like, and I think we all had glasses on, I think, and I just was like, and I could just feel myself, I was so comfy, and I knew I went. And then I heard someone go like, sir, and I went, yeah. And then they were just like, you were asleep. And I was like, no one, no one.
I was just resting my eyes.
Sucking up the drool.
Do you ever have that where you, I don't know if you've spoken about this before, but you know when you zone out, so like, you just start thinking about something and your eyes just focus on a point.
Oh, yeah.
And you just completely zone out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the kids clock onto that.
Yeah.
That's funny, because then you see him and they're all like,
yeah.
Mr. B looks like a zombie.
No, that's just my face.
Yeah. Right, okay. It was summer term last year, and I'd been Oh, it's an injury, this. It's a bad one.
It's a bad one.
Summer term last year, and I've been asked to help out with the year six bubble ahead of me starting my NQT year the following September. I was only a couple of days in, and it was playtime. Some of the boys wanted to play football, but there wasn't enough of them, so I decided to show them how to play Worley.
Oh, nice. What a game. Great game.
Great game. I decided to join in and booted the football at the wall. As my foot hit the ball, my knee cracked, partially dislocating. I was on my own and knew no other teaching staff. I had done this a couple of times before, so I hobbled over to the bench, trying to play it cool in front of the children. Just with your leg hanging off.
Do you know what makes me laugh about that is how rusty must you have to be like, right, kids, I'm going to introduce you to this game. It's called Wally. You kick the ball against the wall. I'll show you. Well, bang! Ah!
I spent the rest of the day in agony and wheeling around on a wheeling chair so I didn't have to walk. Let's just say I didn't try to show off my football skills again.
You can't really show off at Wally. I mean, you're literally kicking a ball at a wall and you got injured.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Right. Please do a feature on Mr. P's advice. In my fourth year of teaching, and I'm yet to work in a year group where all the staff are competent and good at their job. Some of them are amazing, but they've always been one. It says, knobhead. Currently working with an NQT who is known in the school from his TA days as being particularly difficult to work with, and honestly, don't know how to deal with him. Any advice on working with an asshole would be greatly appreciated. Well, I've been doing this podcast for 4 years, and I've had to put up with one asshole. In fact, they're not talking about you here, are they? Currently working with someone who is from his TA days, particularly difficult to work. Advice there, Adam?
I don't know. If you want my honest opinion, they sound like the asshole. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that guy who is a TA, who's now a teacher. If you haven't... Do you know what I always think, right? Is I would much prefer just open, honest. Like, I don't like the little... You know, when you hear about it, like, little bickering behind the backs, and I hear it all the time from different schools, and I just feel like... So, if me and you were working together in a school, and, you know, for example, I wasn't pulling my weight or whatever... I would much prefer you to come into me and be like, right, listen, you know, I think you're a really good teacher, you're a really good guy, but I do think that you need to do this, this, and this. I could see my backside.
Oh, you'd rather me do that?
But then...
Right, but then, pull up a chair, Adam.
But then at least it's just honest and it's face-to-face. So the only advice I'd have is maybe just try and have a little bit of a sit-down and say, like, can I be honest? Can I just tell you, like, my issue? And then we can discuss it and just talk it out. Because the more you bicker and, you know, sending all...
Backstabbing.
And then it gets really bitchy and it doesn't do anyone any favours. And you know when it'll come out? Works due.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be works due towards the end of the year. And then you'll just be like, you know, that teacher might be like, oh, we've had a good year, haven't we? Do you want a drink? Oh, so you're finally doing something. It's like, ooh, hey, enough of that, Sharon.
Right, okay.
By the way, I do want to say, I do apologise to any Sharons out there. Like, there's no issue. Like.
Well, I work with a Sharon, and she's brilliant, so she was laughing about it. Don't worry.
Sharon!
And therefore, Sharon speaks for every Sharon that's ever existed. Right. Short but sweet. Yesterday, accidental innuendo. Yesterday, I was marking year two extended writing, and one child had been leaving extra big spaces between words. It was the last day of term, and like everyone in education these days, I was mega tired while marking. My comment for his next step was, one finger is enough. Panicking, I might get sacked by the next book scrutiny.
I don't like you using two. One finger is enough.
Right, and we'll finish with funniest rumour from school.
Okay.
Here we go. Right, so I absolutely love the podcast. It has made my 2020 that much brighter. So apologies, we're only getting round to this 3 years on.
Well, I was going to say,
this was at the end of 2020.
It wouldn't have taken a lot to make 2020 brighter, would it?
To be fair, the bar was low.
Yeah. If we were going to make any year brighter, I wouldn't have chosen 2020.
This is fairly long, but hopefully worth the read.
Oh, I hope so.
Take it back to my A-level RE lessons. We had a fab teacher who everyone loved. Just a note, he was an assistant head at the school and would often talk about his wife and children to us. One day, he asked the class, if someone is a practicing Christian and they fall in love with someone else, should they leave their wife and get divorced? Sort of linked in with our unit, so we replied quoting Christians through history and Bible quotes. A few weeks later, he was no longer wearing his wedding ring. We clicked that he'd been basically asking us for advice for his relationship. How desperate is a man to be asking A-level RE students about whether he should leave his wife?
I bet when he's on the dating scene, he brings in two shirts. Which one do you like, guys? Which one?
Not even that. He could be at a speed dating and just have half his class behind. Guys, what do you think? What are you saying?
Are we thumbs up or thumbs down on this one? Thumbs down? Okay, moving on.
Okay, children, today's presentation, we've got my Tinder profile, and we're all going to just start swiping right or left.
Who's going to design my bio?
Yeah.
Make sure you punctuate it correctly. I want to come across smart.
So I took this picture of Matt. No, I won't go there. He was basically asking our advice for his relationship, but it gets better.
Oh, baby.
The rumours then started when he was spotted with the something teacher in Waitrose. Right, so which subject are you going?
English.
No.
Science.
No.
Oh, I thought
science
be...
and RE. No.
I thought it was going to be chemistry. let's go for... Not maths.
No.
So is it something...
Wasn't
something
a great
connected
addition.
With RE? Oh, right. Minus maths.
The math teacher left him with the remainder.
Right. Let me think. Philosophy?
No.
Business studies?
No.
In Waitrose? Cooking?
Oh, it's got nothing to do with Waitrose. We're just in
history.
Waitrose. No.
Geography?
No.
Oh, PE?
No.
Have
you not got it?
Oh,
you nearly said it then.
Who did?
You went, ah.
Art.
Yeah.
It wasn't Mr. Waddowick, was it?
That was our art teacher. He was Welsh.
He was Welsh. And he's going, oh, some great art from Giacometti.
Pablo
Salvador Dali.
It came to the end of the year. A few weeks later, he's no longer wearing his wedding. The rumours then started and he was spotted with the art teacher in Waitrose.
Yeah. A fresh canvas.
Turning over. He'd been asking our advice as to whether to leave his wife for the art teacher. This is an art attack. This is an art attack.
This is a big art attack. One kid in the class.
It came to the end of the year and the art teacher left, but he stayed. We'd all assumed that he'd asked our advice and that they were now together. What's even better is this year, 6 years later, they were spotted together holding hands during doing their Christmas shopping. I guess, well, in fact, at 2020, they're breaking the bloody rules. Socially distant.
How close were they?
Yeah, I guess we will never know if he really did ask for our advice, but we know for sure that they are together. Coincidence? I think not.
That was good. That was good. I mean, not so much of a rumour as just a fact.
Yeah. I just can't get my head around that. Happened. You'd ask.
The only thing I think that I would ask, like, say, year six, is just like, you know, end of the day, you're all going, oh, you know, I'm going football training tonight, sir. Oh, good luck. I might just go, well, what should I have for tea? Lasagna or pasta and meatballs? And then they'd all be like, lasagna and pasta and meatballs. And then he'd be like, yeah. I wouldn't be there going, listen, guys, you know, imagine someone's having trouble in the bedroom. How would you, bottle of Prime, Bottle of Prime works, does it?
Do you know what? Talking about Prime, I was driving back from Newport last week, Friday, and I stopped off at a garage at one of the services, and I went into the toilet and then I grabbed myself a drink, and at the sort of till was loads of bottles of Prime. Right. Loads of bottles of Prime. So straight away I'm like, oh, right, and it was $2.99 for a bottle, which is ridiculous.
And
anyway.
Why are your kids mad at that?
Well, yeah, they get. So I thought, right, three bottles of Prime, please.
Maximum two.
Maximum two.
Yeah, maximum.
But the
two.
Guy was such. Do you know Face Jacker, where he used to do that? Hello, please.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, please. I was like, can I have three bottles of Prime? He's like, you can only buy two. I was like, but I've got three kids, mate. If I take two bottles home, you're basically going to cause an absolute riot. He went, I'm sorry, store policy. We can only sell you two. So I was like, are you sure? What if I buy two and then buy another one, like on a separate transaction? Sorry, we cannot do that. It is not right. You have to buy it. So I was like, oh, right, I'll have a red and a blue. So he scans my other drink and the packet of crisps or whatever. Then he scans red and a bloody green. And I went, I wanted blue. Oh, silly me. We're going to have to avoid that transaction.
Like a sloth into your choppers.
Oh, my word. I you was so annoyed.
Gone. How you doing, ICT? You all right? Abdul, come closer.
Honest to God.
Have you
so
seen?
Funny.
So this wakey wine's rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, absolute fool. And it's ridiculous, but then he's been banned from TikTok, this guy who's been selling Prime for astronomical fees. But my favourite video I've seen was where those two young lads, he's doing his whole spiel like, how you doing, you alright? Where'd you come from? And they're like, you know, Nottingham. And he's like, what brought you here today to Wakey Wines? He's like, Prime. And he goes, and what's the best shop in Wakey? And they go, Tesco. And he walks after and he storms off.
Absolutely hilarious.
Another thing that I've learned recently as well, last thing before we finish. Apparently, using the cry laughing emoji makes you really old.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a like, fossil then. I use loads.
It's what old people use, cry laughing emoji.
Well, I've tried to mix it up recently because you've got the cry laughing emoji just like with the tears.
Yeah.
I'm doing the face now. But I do that one now.
Do you know?
You're the side one.
Do you know what the young cool kids use?
Go on.
The skeleton face.
Dead.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because I was getting some skeleton faces on a couple of videos and I was like,
Jesus, my X-Men's not that bad, is it?
Yeah. Do you think I'm that old? I'm a fossil. But it's actually they're laughing a lot. They're not laughing that much. They're dead. So we hope you've all been dead from listening to this episode. Hope you're all dead from listening to this episode, guys. So don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yeah.
And
if you are feeling a little bit tired, you go to Wakey. You all right?
So yeah, as always, thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. As always, please head over to the website. You can get your tickets for live show. You can share your stories there as well. Head over to the Facebook group, follow us on the socials. And of course, if you've not yet left a review on Apple Podcasts, please do that. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast as well, because there's a few people who listen to the episodes but don't actually subscribe, and that really does help. So yeah, until next week, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Take care.
Great Big Owl.